Oh, Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. We will begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Sabbath day with hearts desiring to make you smile. As you know, last week we came together to learn what you would have us do. And it just so happens that this Sabbath is communion Sabbath. But we also ask you to reveal unto us what you would have us do as a church family and as individuals. And so we pray that you bless us on this Sabbath day. And Father, please hear our prayers as you promise. We know you do. But we need more faith. We need more wisdom. We need more courage, discernment, understanding, and love. And with this communion service, we know that with the washing of the feet and coming together with your Son, as he commanded and set forth since the Last Supper, that we are blessed with a little bit better understanding, a little bit cleaner walks for all the dross that falls off just from being in this awful world. So please bless us with your presence. And bless all those on our prayer list too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, hopefully everybody here is involved in this fast that we're doing for understanding. And for it to fall on this Sabbath when we have communion is amazing. I got to say, it's just amazing. This is, I mean, it's one thing to have a communion Sabbath, but to have it go, you know, one step further to show our desire to make him smile and to do that which we need to do. And we also understand we're not the only people in the world that believe as we do. We just happen to call ourselves Seventh-day Remnant. There's many people that believe as we do that just haven't met us yet. And that's okay. The Lord has them working where they're working. Plus, there's people in all the fallen churches yet. You know, because the plagues haven't started yet, so they got time to get out. Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5 is pretty clear. So, that all being said, in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, we read this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, the sad thing is, up until I started keeping Sabbath, I never even knew people were doing this. All the churches that we have come from don't do them. Well, I would think the majority. I think some ex-Seventh-day Adventists among us have seen this, you know, done. But when Jesus finished washing their feet, he said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. This ordinance is what our Lord Jesus appointed on that day as his command to his bride, as preparation for the sacramental service that we're about to do next. While pride, variance, and strife for supremacy, and or just plain jealousy are found, you know, in the heart, you know, because of the world that we're trekking on a daily basis. All of this dross, if you will, needs to be put behind it, because the heart simply can't enter into fellowship with Jesus, you know, with all that garbage from the world in there. We're not prepared to receive the communion of his body and his blood if we are only in communion with the characteristics that we find in this world. Therefore, it was this foot washing that Jesus appointed, the memorial of his humiliation, to be first observed so as to wash away all the world dusted us with, you know, the worldliness that we get. You know, to be in communion is to be in agreement. And so one of the definitions of the word communion is sharing common or participation. We simply can't do that unless we humble ourselves as Christ did and commands us to do. And so our Lord is watching us right now from heaven. And he's always present when we gather like this to search our souls and repent of our sinful ways, and especially so on Sabbath day, obviously, and even on this special Sabbath that we as a church family have to come together seeking his will on something that he would have us do, hence the reason we are fasting. And there's no sin in us declaring that we're fasting. And like if you're all by yourself and you're fasting, yeah, you don't go out and broadcast unless, of course, your wife is the one who cooks or your husband's the one who cooks. You say, honey, I'm not going to eat today. You know, that's all you got to say. You know, we're not supposed to go around with our faces drawn and, you know, weak and, you know, falling over and say, oh, I'm so hungry. No, no, no. This is between you and the Lord. But we're doing this as a church family. This is why I mention it. And so we will be blessed, but in his timing. It could happen today. It could happen next month. It could happen next year. We don't know. But he knows we are serious, those of us that are doing this fast. And this is also why we announce communion a week or two before we do it, so as to be, we can be ready for it, kind of like a spiritual fasting, if you will. In other words, you know, to take stock in yourself and see if you've done this, if you've done that, if you've offended anybody. You've got to make it right before you have a communion. Because the Lord tells us in the book of Matthew to put it down, put your offering down at the altar, and go back and make peace with your brother, and then come back and pick up your offering. I think it's in the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's in chapter 5. But this is, again, why we announce this. It's kind of like it's not really a day of atonement, because we know we're spiritually going through that now. But it is a time for us, you know, the week before, to get ready for this, but even more so now that we have made this decision to join as one, seeking his will for us and for the church. And so all confession's already been made, and in so doing, his grace moves our thoughts right now, and he moves them off ourself and onto our brethren and onto him as to what he would have us do. And even more so onto our brethren when we literally bow before them to wash their feet. And no, we don't bow in worship. Okay, so we bow as servants. You know, we're just following the example of Jesus Christ, you know, 2,000 years ago. So the Holy Spirit always quickens the sensibilities of those who follow the example of their Lord. And so that's what we're trying. We're trying to do the best we can. And we want additional understanding. We want some of the scales, if not all the scales, to drop from our eyes. So whatever his will be done, praise his name. And so when we follow his lead, sin is then seen in the same light that he sees it. Our thoughts are not thoughts of self-complacency anymore, or self-glorification, or, you know, it's my way or the highway kind of attitude anymore. And so the mind is now energized to break down every barrier that has caused alienation between us and even him, if you think about it. And so hopefully all our sins have been confessed. We've made right, everything right. And if I've offended anybody here, please forgive me. And I've already seen some of you, been placing that in the text chat too. If you have offended anybody, please forgive, you know, because it's kind of hard to tell sometimes if you offend somebody. And so please forgive me if I've offended anyone here on the radio or anywhere, you know, in the world, listening on the phone and all that. So, and hopefully all this is, you know, like, and hopefully we are really, really serious about what we're doing today, not just with communion. And so all of it's done, and as he promised, everything's forgiven. We trust him. We trust him 100%. So the subduing grace of Christ is now coming into the soul, and the love of Christ draws our hearts together in a blessed unity, just as Jesus planned. This is how he wants us to be, if we are ever to be called his loving bride. And with that, we're going to break for 15 minutes. Whoever's going to be doing the music, please put up the music, or put up your hand, and I'll switch over the mic and all that here in a moment. And so we'll break for 15 minutes, and then we'll come back and get ready for the literal wine and, you know, the unfermented wine and the unleavened bread. And there's a reason both are unfermented. We all know this. I'm not going to keep repeating that. But so anyway, be back in 15 minutes. It's 2 o'clock now. See you at 2:15.
Holy Master, Lord, and we say well. He called me Master and Lord, and he say, well, so I am. If I then your Lord and Master was to be, he also ought to wash one another's feet. He called me Master and Lord, and he say, well. He called me Master and Lord, and you say, well, the Lord I am. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master and Lord, and you say, well. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well, the song I am. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, well, the dog I am, the dog I am.
At the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place so near, so precious, may it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past. For his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. While I from His fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me as I sit low at Thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me. Let me see Thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as He is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness.
For my blood of Jesus.
Upon us.
It up where we left off in John 13, verses 21 to 30. And so as they were seated at the table, this is what happens next. John goes into pretty good detail here. And it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, 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 I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. And now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, and Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him that he should ask him, or ask who it was that, who it should be of whom he spake. He then laying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I will give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, you know, the money, he was the treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we need against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Imagine studying that in heaven with all the symbols that are in there. So, brothers and sisters, every one of us, myself included, are sinners saved by grace. Jesus died for each and every one of us, and we are his bride. And because we are his precious bride, and he is our precious husbandman, if you will, we are often afflicted, persecuted, and openly hated by all nations of this fallen world for his sake and the truth he represents. Even still, we can stand firm in his name, knowing that for us he gave his life. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how heavy the burdens are day by day by day, I mean, we need to remember that Jesus endured that cross and all that entailed it. You know, even before they beat him before he got to the cross. So even if the trial becomes very intense, wherein our own lives are in peril due to the spiritual and even physical attacks upon us by his long prophesied enemy, the devil. We need to echo what the patriarch Job said in Job 19:25. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Or look at Hebrews 7:25 that says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And this is one of the reasons Rome does it, what it does with confessionals. The Bible says we have one advocate with the Father, that he makes intercession for us. Rome says, "Oh, no, you don't. We'll do it for you." That further pulls them away from Christ. Christ has instituted this communion service that it may speak to our hearts of the eternal love our Heavenly Father and He has expressed in our behalf. He literally allowed them to tear His body to shreds and caused Him to die at a very young age so that we can live for all eternity. Whatever the world throws at us no longer matters because we have that blessed assurance that one day we will be changed to where we will never die or weep again, ever. So as we step to the table to partake in this torn body of our Lord, our Savior and King, and His shed blood, there can be no union between our souls and God unless it is done through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It has to be done through Him. The union and love between brother and sister, and sister and sister, and brother and brother, and sister and brother, and it must always be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus Christ. And it's the only way it'll ever be blessed. As heart-wrenching as this may seem to some, especially to the angels in heaven, and I can't even imagine how the Father's heart felt when he saw his only begotten Son, die. This loving act performed for all of mankind 2,000 years ago has blessed all of us here with all that we need to do and all that He requires us to do if we just believe that He has died for us. And then since He has died for us, all that He proclaimed is something we must embrace because He's the one that has the truth. Die for us the way He did makes it so real in the hearts of billions and billions and billions. So let the devil throw whatever he wants. I mean, have at it. I mean, we all know that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is forever the center of our hope and had made all that Satan would do an eternal failure. I mean, just spell devil backwards. It's lived. And his native tongue is to speak backwards. Anybody that used to mess with the occult would know that. And so upon this, what Jesus has done for us and has forever destroyed the enemy of souls, upon this we must fix our faith. And with that said, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, before we take of this bread, which is not only symbolic of the torn body, because we have to rip the piece of bread off, right? So it represents His torn body, and it's unleavened because He had no sin in Him. This bread also, you could say it breaks the fast, but it doesn't, because those of us who are fasting are not going to eat until the sun goes down. And think about that. The only thing we ate was to partake in His torn body and His blood, of course, that we'll be drinking of the fruit of the vine in a moment, too. And so with that said, please get on your knees and we'll offer up prayer and give thanks unto Him for what He has done. And you might want to get comfortable on your knees there, too. Like, get something to kneel on if you have to, because we'll be praying over the grape juice as well. So please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank You so very, very much for what You have allowed Your Son to do for us. 2,000 years ago. Thank you for that decision you two made, both of you made, before the foundation of the world, that if Adam and Eve messed up, you'd be there, Jesus, you'd be there for us. And you were. You did exactly as you promised. Which means every other promise is rock hard, capital R. We know you can't lie. And so thank you for blessing us with eternal life. I mean, you could have just let us go. But you didn't. You love us. You loved us first. And thank you for teaching us how to love you back. And so please bless this gathering. Please bless this offering, that this bread that we have here that represents your torn body. Thank you for blessing our hearts, our minds, our souls. We need more wisdom, faith, discernment, and love and courage, everything. Please bless us. And with answers to our prayers as to why we fast. And so thank you for blessing this bread and for doing what you did for us 2,000 years ago. And Father, we offer this prayer unto you in perfect obedience unto what Jesus told us to do from that Last Supper 2,000 years ago. And so please accept this prayer in the name of your precious Son, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, we eat the bread. Okay. Continuing in 1 Corinthians, it says, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, till he come. And so with that said, if you're still on your knees, please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with your presence today and giving this and your Son as Savior, and for blessing him with this ordinance that he set up 2,000 years ago. And Jesus, thank you for spilling your blood for us. Thank you so much for that, because we would not have made it, we won't make it home without that. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain, too, if we are so worthy. And so please bless this fruit of the vine. We're doing it in perfect obedience. It's not fermented, because we know your blood has no sin in it. You had no sin. Just like the bread, it's unleavened. It has no yeast. It has, just like your body, has no sin in it. And so thank you for blessing it and being our perfect Savior and teaching us how to walk with you all the way till the end of the world, till you come. And that's a lot sooner than it's ever been before, with every time we gather. And so thank you, Father, for blessing this cup in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. And with that, we drink. And I hope and I pray that you have been blessed this Sabbath day and continue to be blessed, especially on this Sabbath, with what we are doing and hoping that the Lord will bless us with, for doing as he would have us do. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Live music again. Amen. I have a, before we pray, I have a special prayer request that just came from Sister Mindy here, and I want to read this to you, and then we'll gather and finish in prayer. Let me take a moment. It says, Sabbath blessings, Pastor Nick. I have an urgent prayer request for the church family. My brother and I met with a vascular surgeon on Thursday, and he informed us that Jeff's aortic aneurysm is in his chest close to his heart, so that the only thing they can do is perform open-heart surgery, which can be a very risky surgery, especially since my brother is not in the best of health and he weighs over 300 pounds. We'll be meeting with a heart surgeon probably next week, and they will do another CT scan of my brother's chest to see if the aneurysm has gotten any bigger, which would warrant emergency heart surgery. The last time they did a CT scan of my brother was when he was in the ICU, and the size was 5.5, which is really large, and if it ruptures, it will cause internal bleeding and can be fatal. I'm asking my beloved church family if we can all come together in prayer this Holy Lord's Supper Sabbath, when my brother and sisters come together to pray before the 5 p.m. study begins, as well, I guess I'll put as well in there, so we can all get on our knees at the same time to pray for a miracle of healing for my brother. Kylie and I will be at the rehab center in my brother's room at his bedside, and I will have some oil to anoint him with. And I guess she's going to be doing this at 5, right before you guys gather. So what better Sabbath to pray for a miracle of healing than this? Lord's Supper Sabbath and the church's family. And the church family is fasting on this Sabbath too, praise the Lord. The last time I asked the church family to join together in prayer all at the same time was for my mother, and she was healed of an illness she had had for almost 20 years, and she had lived on pain medicine for many years just to take the edge off of the pain she was going through. Although God didn't heal her of the lung cancer, which I believe it was His will for her to go to sleep, He did heal her of that other of the other illness, praise the Lord, because that was the one with all the pain, obviously. And I just threw that in. God allowed us to see His hand move in a mighty way. I pray we're allowed to see God's hand move again in a mighty way to strengthen our faith more and to give God all the glory. I know my brother will glorify God and tell everyone how God has healed his aortic aneurysm, including the nurses and doctors. I pray God's will be done. Amen. And so, if you can, please get on your knees. And then at the 5 o'clock, whoever's leading it, we'll figure that out in a minute, whoever's leading it. We'll do it again then, too. So, please, if you can, kneel. This is going to be one amazing Sabbath, I got to tell you. It's already, you know, broken records. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for being with us again on this Sabbath, like you do every Sabbath and or whatever we gather together, or even when we're coming to you alone in our studies. Thank you so much for all the prayers that we have seen answered over the years and decades and lifetimes that we have seen. Everything from people getting off deathbeds to crippled spines being healed. We thank you for so many movements of your hand. It moved so many hearts even more so. And so we uplift again another precious soul unto you who is in desperate need of a healing. And He has already spoken and glorified you at the last testimony service, as you know. So He's not shy to go forth and proclaim. He's not ashamed of His Jesus. And so please bless Him, Father, with many opportunities to go forth and declare this unto everyone you send His way. And please bless us, Father, with the answers to the prayers we seek and the reasons we fast. We want to know Your will as individuals and as Your Son's bride. And so please bless us. And thank you for blessing us, because you know, we know that you always bless your children. Even when it's an answer, when the answer is no, that is a blessing, because we ask amiss sometimes. And so thank you again for this Sabbath. Thank you for your presence again. And thank you for blessing us with answered prayer and blessing everybody on our prayer list. In the name of your precious Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.